healthy fats while limiting your intake of the artery-clogging ones, and we're off to a good start. All fat, however, healthy or not, is rich for the body and should be consumed in moderation. A key strategy here is to limit the total intake of fats to those that are actually beneficial to the brain and forgo those that are not. Achieve this, and it will help your entire body in the process. These healthy fats include omega-3 PUFAs and especially DHA, that rare fat that abounds in marine and fish oils. As you will remember, there is a consensus that eating high-quality fish and shellfish is not only good for your brain, but also reduces the risk of memory loss and dementia. Besides being loaded with omega-3s, fish is an excellent source of complete protein and vitamin B12, critical players in the overall health of your nervous system. Wild-caught fish is the best source of DHA. Some of my favorites are Alaskan salmon, mackerel, bluefish, sardines, and anchovies. Most longevity diets recommend eating fish at least once a week. We will follow suit and raise the bar to 2 or 3 times a week. Make sure that you don't overdo it with large fish, such as tuna and shark, which tend to be high in mercury. Pregnant women should always avoid fish with high mercury levels. The trick here is to focus on high-quality fish, as well as pairing it with those foods that enhance its qualities, such as select herbs and, lest we forget, even a glass of wine. One example could be your choice of fish, roasted with lemon, herbs, and sea salt, or covered in crushed pistachios as a special treat. And then there's my secret weapon, caviar. Considered by many to be a luxury gourmet food, black caviar consists of salt-cured fish eggs from sturgeon. It takes no more than 2 to 3 teaspoons of caviar to reach your brain-healthy DHA and choline dose for the day. Of course, the downside is that caviar can be quite expensive. My favorite alternative is salmon roe, which contains almost the same amount of DHA while costing a third as much as black caviar. In addition to being incredibly rich in brain-healthy fats, salmon roe contains high levels of antioxidants, like vitamin C, E, and selenium, combined with a nice dose of B-complex vitamins. It is also high in protein. Just 1 ounce of salmon roe contains 6 grams of protein, chock full of essential amino acids. Salmon roe is very versatile and can be dressed up or down, depending on the occasion. Add a couple of teaspoons on your favorite sushi roll or sprinkle some on a rye bread tartine to make a snack, or on whole grain toast over Greek yogurt to serve as a fancy hors d'oeuvre. When you're not eating fish, you still need to make sure you're hitting your omega-3s. Several nuts and seeds can help. My favorites are almonds, walnuts, flax seeds, chia, and hemp, which I routinely add to smoothies, soups, and salads. It is also useful to swap omega-6 rich oils for those that contain omega-3s instead. Flaxseed oil tops the list of omega-3 rich oils, with over 7 grams of omega-3 per tablespoon. Oils and products that are rich in omega-6 need to be consumed in moderation only, and these include grapeseed, sunflower, corn, soybean, sesame, and peanut oils. Additionally, heart-healthy monounsaturated fats, such as those found in macadamia nuts and high-fat fruit, like olives or avocado, should also replace less healthy fats. Olive oil is perhaps the most publicized and widely used source of these good fats, especially the cold-pressed, extra virgin variety made from the first pressing of the olives. It is now believed that regular consumption of extra virgin olive oil is a prime reason for the positive aspects of the Mediterranean diet, thanks to its unique, high antioxidant blend. There is a type of fat that is unequivocally harmful for you and that needs to be completely eliminated from your diet first and foremost. I'm talking about trans fats. Remember how these fats raise your cholesterol levels, producing painful inflammation throughout your entire body? On top of that, food that contains trans fats typically also contains poisonous metals, emulsifiers, chemical sweeteners, and artificial coloring, which all work to shut down your brain, heart, and microbiome. Trans fats are typically lurking in processed foods. Commercial donuts, cookies, crackers, muffins, pies, cakes, Cool Whip-like creams, processed cheeses, and candy. These are just some of the foods that contain trans fats. But processed meats like bologna, salami, corned beef, and pastrami are also culprits. Vacuum-packed mozzarella? Canned cheese that squirts? Arrivederci! These, too, are shot through with trans fats. It is crucial to limit how frequently you eat these foods until you're down to never. Go for organic sources instead. They aren't much more expensive, and they have the added bonus of containing healthier fat and far less sugar to boot. A fresh homemade apple pie is clearly more delicious than an industrialized, preserved one that can live endlessly on a supermarket shelf. Don't bake? Find someone who does. You and your health, as well as the health of your family, are worth it. It is also important to limit fried foods and baked goods made with shortening or partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, which is the absolute norm at every single fast food chain, in spite of their sometimes marketing such products as natural or healthy choices. These include anything from French fries to fried chicken, but also items such as fried mozzarella and vegetable sticks, anything battered, and nearly all candies and cookies. Do you love chips? Make your own. Sweet potatoes, cooked to a crisp in coconut oil, are a real treat, and far more nutritious than any bleached, deep-fried fakery you can find at the local fast food joint or convenience store. As you reduce your consumption of processed foods, you'll be reducing saturated fat in your diet in the process. Saturated fats, especially those from natural sources, don't need to be entirely eliminated, but should be significantly reduced. Since the body burns saturated fat for energy, just enough of this fat needs to be provided for all bodily functions to occur smoothly. At the same time, we need to stop over-consuming these fats for three very good reasons: to protect our brains against aging, to avoid weight gain, and to lower the risk of heart disease. The truth is, while the general public might be conflicted over which fat is good and bad for you, scientists go to the trouble of doing the math. In the long run, excessive saturated fats are bad for you. As previously mentioned, there are different types of saturated fats, and some are better for you than others. For instance, some vegetable oils, like coconut oil, are excellent sources of a particular type of saturated fat, the so-called medium-chain triglycerides. There is increasing evidence that these oils don't have a negative effect on cholesterol and can actually help to lower the risk of atherosclerosis and heart disease, therefore reducing the risk of dementia, too. They're also naturally cholesterol-free, which is a plus if cholesterol is an issue for you. Additionally, medium-chain triglycerides are a good source of ketone bodies, the brain's backup energy source in times of scarcity and fasting. However, since we will be providing plenty of healthy glucose to our hungry brains, these high-fat foods are not really necessary for energetic consumption. Besides, they shouldn't be consumed instead of omega-3-rich oils, which are far more crucial for a healthy brain. So use them judiciously as described in the next chapter. Saturated fats from animal products are a different story. Remember how centenarians all around the world tend to eat less meat and dairy, and often only at community celebrations? When eaten in excess, these foods are potentially dangerous, as they are rich in triglycerides and cholesterol, as well as the omega-6s that actually compete with the omega-3s for entry into the brain. As a result, they can boost inflammation and raise cholesterol levels, in turn increasing the risk of vascular damage. I am not suggesting you give up your meat and cheese entirely. What I am talking about is portion size. Many people chow down on double and even triple portions of steaks and burgers, often loaded with processed cheese on top. If you need to eat a pound of meat to feel satisfied, this comes under the category of overindulging, and it's a problem. Use your hands to guide you. One serving of meat of any kind should mirror the size of the palm of your hand or a deck of cards, equaling approximately 2 to 3 ounces. One serving of cheese is about the length, width, and depth of your index finger, equaling about 1 ounce. Frequency is also important. Red meat and pork should not be consumed more than once a week. Focus on lean rather than fatty cuts. And if you're eating chicken, get rid of the skin. Cheese should also be restricted to no more than once or twice a week. Milk, on the other hand, can be a good source of many essential nutrients. When you drink milk or use it in your cooking, focus on organic grass-fed milk. Also, there's no need to drink a quart of milk. Think of milk as liquid food. A small cup is plenty, especially if it's in combination with other foods. Yogurt is the exception to our careful dairy rules. Yogurt is an excellent source of brain essential nutrients and probiotics. Consequently, you can have a cup every day. Eating yogurt on a regular basis is crucial to maintaining optimal GI functions, which in turn support brain health. Finally, a word about eggs. Eggs are a favorite breakfast choice in America, and many people eat them daily. Research has shown that even though eggs are not as bad for you as previously thought, we shouldn't be overdoing it. I typically recommend eating 2 to 3 eggs throughout the week, either scrambled or poached, or as part of omelets and home-baked goods, like my blueberry banana muffins and banana almond pancakes. www.lisamosconi.com. Hold on until Chapter 12 for a discussion of the different types of egg, meat, and dairy products. For dessert, think glucose. We need to increase our consumption of good carbs while decreasing the bad ones. When we look around at the typical Western diet, in addition to the consistent consumption of poor quality meat, the one thing that seems more evident is the rampant consumption of refined white sugar via fast food meals, processed products at our tables, and unhealthy snacks available around every corner. Not to mention the rows of artificial food that passes for breakfast cereal in our grocery store aisles, alongside cheap pastries, cookies, and energy bars, all sugar and chemical laden. Not even vegans are safe, although vegan foods should be the epitome of healthy. More often than not, they are packed with an ungodly amount of hidden sugar, making the consumers not much better off than their meat-eating counterparts. Nowadays, more and more doctors attend to sugar consumption as much as they do to unhealthy fats, with regard to heart disease in particular. However, these sugary foods will do more harm than good to your brain as well. These are the bad carbs. As the public becomes increasingly aware of just how bad refined sugar is for the body, the tendency has been to replace white sugar with artificial sweeteners such as aspartame. NutraSweet, equal. Sucralose, Splenda, acesulfame potassium, or ACE-K, Sunet and Sweet 1, and Saccharin, Sweeten Low. These sweeteners have come under scrutiny due to damaging side effects that range from headaches and migraines to impaired liver and kidney function, not to mention mood disorders. Fortunately, there's no need to ingest toxins, such as refined sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and artificial sweeteners. There are plenty of healthier and more natural sweeteners at our disposal. Remember, your brain runs on glucose. Therefore, as far as your brain is concerned, good carbs equal the glucose-rich foods described in Chapter 6. These include not only raw honey and maple syrup, but also coconut sugar, brown rice syrup, yacone syrup, blackstrap molasses, stevia, fruit purees, aka fruit butters, and even fruit like grapes, and vegetables like beetroot. You might be surprised to discover that these natural sweeteners come with an added bonus. They increase your intake of anti-aging antioxidants in amounts similar to that of consuming berries and nuts. Give these a try to discover which natural sweetener you like best. More specific recommendations, tailored to your specific diet, are included in the next chapters. Some complex carbs, particularly whole wheat, sorghum pasta, wild rice, and sweet potatoes, are also rich in glucose as well as fiber, vitamins, and minerals. This particular nutrient combination provides sustained brain energy for longer periods of time, making these foods ideal lunch options. Many people enjoy their cereal for breakfast. If this is you, I recommend wholesome, unsweetened, minimally processed, 100% whole grain cereals, free of artificial coloring and synthetic vitamins or minerals. These cereals won't come in brightly colored boxes with catchy brand names. Rather, you'll find them in nondescript transparent bags with no more than a small label. Great examples are steel-cut oats, puffed brown rice, and buckwheat porridge. Just sweeten them yourself by adding a little honey or maple syrup, or topping your bowl with fresh fruit. That being said, I confess to having a sweet tooth, and appreciate how staying clear of dessert can be a real challenge. For me, that wasn't much of a problem when I lived in Italy, but after I moved to New York, I started having sugar cravings. As soon as I ended my lunch, I would find myself reaching for a cookie or a piece of chocolate, mostly in response to a sudden drop in energy. Those rare days when I couldn't lay my hands on either, I would find myself in the worst mood imaginable, and my performance suffered as well. I know that I'm not alone and that many people can relate to craving something sweet after a meal. Making things worse, we beat ourselves up after indulging. The thing is, sugar cravings often result from a poor diet. Unfortunately, most American meals are full of refined sugars that upset your blood sugar levels, causing you to only want more. On close examination, the treats I used to have in Italy were most often homemade, with fresh organic ingredients and low in refined sugar. They had a very different effect on my body than the supermarket chocolate chip cookies I got used to in my new American home. It was quite a process kicking the habit. I had to learn to read labels, figure out ingredients, and focus on natural sources of sugar rather than commercial ones. But it did pay off. As I got smarter about my diet, I stopped having sugar cravings, or the sugar blues, and I lost whatever weight I had gained without trying so hard. If you, too, need to de-sugar, the diet plan outlined in Step 2, Eating for Cognitive Power, will help you achieve this goal while fueling your brain at the same time. Making sure that your plate is filled with foods that are healthy and satisfying will, in and of itself, reduce the need for sugary desserts, soda, and extra coffee. And when you do need a little pick-me-up or are in the mood for dessert, there's no need to deprive yourself. Just be mindful of what you put in your body and how often. Many of my favorite brain-healthy desserts, snacks, and occasional treats, like chocolate almond power bites, chocolate blueberry ice cream, and Raffaello coconut butter balls, to mention a few, are available on my blog, www.lisamosconi.com. These recipes are all full of glucose and low in calories and glycemic load. Hope you'll like them as much as I do. Finally, when in doubt, eat chocolate. Bye-bye, Hershey's. Of all the treats available to mankind, chocolate has been one of the most craved foods in the world since ancient times. Already the Aztecs and Mayans regarded chocolate as the food of the gods, consuming it with great reverence. Back then, chocolate consisted of an exotic, bitter beverage made of fermented, roasted cacao beans that were ground into a paste, mixed with water and exotic spices, and sweetened with honey. When consumed in its purest form, chocolate remains a powerful superfood with impressive health benefits. For this to be the case, however, you have to be willing to give up the milk and sugar that makes up most commercial chocolates. Real cacao is bitter, thanks to the action of hundreds of polyphenols, busy delivering health benefits. Unfortunately, the vast majority of the chocolate many of us have eaten throughout our lives is in the form of milk chocolate, white chocolate, and confectionery chocolate or candy, all containing only trace amounts of healthful cacao. What they do contain are extraordinary amounts of sugar, fat, and additives. For example, the typical Hershey's bar, milk chocolate, contains as much as 16 grams of sugar per 1 ounce of chocolate. Dark chocolate, on the other hand, is low in sugar and rich in antioxidant flavonoids and minerals like magnesium and potassium. It also brims with theobromine, with positive effects on blood circulation and possibly on LDL, bad cholesterol. The key is to focus on high-quality dark chocolate with at least 65% cocoa and little or no added sugar. Keep in mind that different brands use different proportions of cacao, sugar, and cacao butter, so they are not all equal sugar-wise. For example, 1 ounce of 70% Lindt Excellence chocolate contains almost 10 grams of sugar, whereas 1 ounce of 74% Dagoba organic chocolate contains only 7.5 grams. My all-time favorite, Lindt Lindor dark chocolate truffles, are each half an ounce of mouth-watering lusciousness and but 5 grams of sugar. On those days when I really just want to indulge, I'll go for the Lindt truffle. See how many options there are? Thirsty? Drink water. This is my personal brain-healthy mantra. Drinking clean water is essential in promoting hydration, restoring balance, empowering all sorts of cellular activity throughout your entire body. And yet, most people don't drink nearly enough. A very common reason is that many Americans report not liking the taste of water, or perhaps it's because it barely has a taste at all. When I first heard this, I had trouble understanding what they meant. Since water has no particular flavor, how can it offend you? Eventually, I came to understand that for people who've grown up drinking soda, milk, and fruit juice as their primary sources of fluids, drinking plain water just isn't much of a thrill. Of course, there are alternatives. Herbal tea is a great start. Drinking herbal tea is a good way to stay hydrated and is a wonderful additional source of vitamins and minerals. Plus, there's the social aspect of sharing tea with friends that can make tea time count as an enjoyable, brain-loving activity. There are endless herbs and blends to choose from. Some of my favorites are soothing peppermint, calming rose and chamomile, cleansing rosehip, and of course anti-aging ginseng, ginger, and lemongrass. In the summer, these same hot teas are delicious served iced. Fruit-infused water is another smart way to add flavor and nutrients as you hydrate, while helping you ditch the soda can on the way. Also known as detox or spa water, these beverages can be any combination of fruit, vegetables, herbs, and spices immersed in water to flavor it. Infused water is delicious without added sugar and has no calories, making it a powerful tool in your efforts to achieve better health. Several other options are available at www.lisamosconi.com. To give you a sense of what these waters are all about, let me tell you how I make my spicy raspberry and orange water. You'll need a cup of raspberries with a thinly sliced orange, 2 cucumbers, also thinly sliced, skin still on, a handful of fresh mint leaves, and 2 cinnamon sticks. All you have to do is mix the ingredients in a large pitcher, add 1 gallon of spring water, and allow it to steep in the fridge overnight. You can add additional fruits and herbs if you prefer a stronger taste. When you're ready for your drink, add a cup of ice to the pitcher. I also add 1/2 glass of aloe juice and serve immediately. Green juices and smoothies are another excellent strategy to increase your fluid intake throughout the day. Many people swear by cold-pressed green juice first thing in the morning, while others look on with suspicion at their bright green hue. Personally, I have learned to appreciate the therapeutic properties of these beverages, especially some smoothies. By smoothies, I am not referring to those milkshake-like beverages loaded with sweetened fruit juice, sugar, processed milk, and even ice cream. I'm talking about whole food smoothies that are made of organic fresh fruit, vegetables, nuts and seeds, and plenty of water. While these drinks alone won't fix a poor diet, and are not meant to replace water, they are an easy, fast way to incorporate more fruits and vegetables, as well as more brain-essential nutrients, into your daily drill. Several recipes are included in the next chapters. Another trick to staying hydrated is to reduce the amount of coffee you drink. Do you ever get thirsty after you drink coffee? Do you drink several cups a day? Drinking too much coffee might lead to unwanted side effects, such as dehydration, palpitations, and disturbed sleep. Nonetheless, moderate coffee drinking in midlife might be protective against dementia later in life. What to do? One of the keys to smart coffee consumption is how you make your coffee. For example, espresso typically has over 5 times the amount of antioxidants, along with more caffeine than boiled or filtered coffee. In addition, different varieties of the coffee bean itself, along with its processing, produce different caffeine contents. So depending upon which preparation method of coffee you use, stick to either 1 demitasse cup of espresso a day or 2 cups of freshly brewed organic Americano, the classic taller cup of American coffee. While I most definitely love my espresso, it's great to have options. Cacao tea is by far my favorite coffee substitute. Cacao is an effective mood enhancer, an excellent antioxidant source, an energy booster, and a comfort food all wrapped up in one. Cacao tea will give you a nice hit of energy without the jitters and the crash that can sometimes affect coffee lovers, and it tastes delicious. I take my cacao tea black and unsweetened, but you can add a little bit of stevia or raw honey if you prefer. You can also make it creamy by replacing the water with almond or hazelnut milk. Yerba mate tea, gunpowder green tea, and matcha tea are other coffee-kicking alternatives that are rich in antioxidants. Matcha is a fine ground green tea powder that dissolves in water, making it a great iced tea too. But if it's the actual taste of coffee you crave, rather than the energy itself, try dandelion tea. Believe it or not, for centuries my beloved dandelion greens have been dried and roasted to make tea all across Europe and Asia. It's easy. Let the dried greens steep for 10 minutes in boiling water, then add a little milk and honey to taste. A glass of red, please. It's pretty straightforward. If you drink alcohol, drink it in moderation, always on a full stomach, and choose red wine over other varieties as much as possible. Red wine has long been known to protect our brains from harm while uplifting the heart. As Italy's dear Galileo Galilei said, wine is sunlight held together by water. While both white and red grapes contain resveratrol, the antioxidant compound that gives wine its good reputation, red grapes have a much higher content of it. Alcohol is a very personal choice. If you are male, shoot for up to 2 5-ounce glasses a day. If you are female, 1 5-ounce glass of wine a day is enough. Here again, go for quality over quantity. Organic wines are best, and find what works for you. If you don't like wine, there are other choices. For example, organic pomegranate juice is almost as rich in antioxidants as your average red wine. Grape juice and prune juice are also valid alternatives. 1 + 1 = 3. A major problem with nutrition studies is that typically one nutrient is studied at a time. Of course, this is easier to handle in research settings since it reduces the number of variables that must be accounted for. However, the risk is falling into the trap of oversimplifying these nutrients into one of two categories, good or bad. Originally, the one-diet-fits-all approach seemed to work when the goal was all about remedying a specific vitamin deficiency. However, this only encouraged scientists to feel satisfied with how single nutrients, rather than nutrients working in tandem, affected our health. This somewhat outdated attitude still permeates both medical and nutritional practices, leading many health professionals to lead witch hunts against the latest bad guy nutrient that, once unmasked, must be fully eliminated from our diets. As all the confusion around cholesterol has taught us, this practice can make for a lot of tail chasing. On top of that, this tendency completely disregards the fact that nutrients work in concert, not in isolation, and it's this teamwork that works to ensure optimal health. For example, let's look at lemons. In your mind, picture biting into a tart, tangy lemon. Is your mouth watering mentally as well as physically? Just thinking about biting into a lemon will kick your senses up a notch. Now, imagine popping a vitamin C capsule into your mouth. Most likely, you'll experience nothing. We've extracted the vitamins out of the lemons, but the lemon has a lot more to it. Citric acid, minerals like iron and potassium, B-complex vitamins, and an array of phytonutrients such as hesperitin, naringin, and naringenin all interact with one another to ensure each lemon is as nutritionally effective as it can be. A pill can provide as much vitamin C as the lemon, but it's incapable of providing the full experience that activates your mind and body. Literally, 1 + 1 = 3, a concept traditionally overlooked by Western medicine. Based on this realization, a wave of new studies has sprung up to take a smarter look into what we call nutrient synergy. My own work shows that the combination of several nutrients, such as omega-3, PUFAs, B vitamins, and antioxidants like vitamin C and E, is particularly effective at protecting memory and mental sharpness. These studies also showed that just like certain combinations of foods and their nutrients favor our health, other combinations do the opposite. This is true of the unhealthy alliance between trans fat, saturated fat, cholesterol, refined white sugar, and sodium. This combo is especially bad news for your brain. Research shows that people who routinely consume these nutrients together, by eating a fairly regular diet of sweets, fried foods, processed foods, and high-fat meat and dairy, exhibit more pronounced brain shrinkage, poorer cognitive performance, and an increased risk of Alzheimer's as compared with those who don't. Similar results were already presenting themselves in participants as young as 25 years of age, only underlining that these foods have dangerous effects on your brain's ability to do its job, regardless of your age. Ultimately, there is no single food that can provide all the nutrients necessary to fully support your brain. A variety of different foods is much better suited to provide you with all the necessary ingredients your brain needs on a daily basis. It's as simple as that. There are many examples of how research findings on nutrient synergies lend themselves to flavorful, delicious dishes while at the same time boosting the nutritional value of your meals. For starters, my grilled salmon in ginger garlic marinade, Chapter 16, is an excellent source of brain essential nutrients known to reduce brain shrinkage and improve metabolic activity in people of all ages. Additionally, it turns out that absorption of antioxidant vitamins is enhanced by high-fat vegetable products like extra virgin olive oil, making my Nonna's dandelion greens with lemon juice and extra virgin olive oil an ideal accompaniment to the salmon, also in Chapter 16. Vitamin C enhances the body's absorption of iron when these foods are eaten at the same time, which is why I make a point of drizzling the greens with freshly squeezed lemon juice. All the recipes and meal plans included in this book are based on maximizing nutrient synergies while providing you with all the necessary brain-healthy nutrients you need on a daily basis. Plus, they taste great, too. 12. Be mindful of quality over quantity. You're worth it. The focus of our brain-healthy diet should be on whole, unadulterated foods. Ideally, we'd shop the farmer's market every day for fresh, local foods and make all our meals from scratch. In reality, we often live far from our food sources, have to buy foods we can store on shelves, and barely have time to eat dinner, much less prepare it. On top of that, if we don't find some ways around it, eating healthy can be expensive. If you're concerned about spending too much money eating organic, you're not alone. Thankfully, there are several things you can do to increase your intake of wholesome, high-quality foods without breaking the bank. A good amount of information is available online, but here are some tips that I've been using consistently for years that have saved me a lot of money. First, online organic food retailers are a tremendous help. There are several websites like Thrive Market, Vitacost, and even Amazon that offer Whole Foods quality products at Costco prices. As long as you're buying non-perishable products, you can find a bit of everything from canned chickpeas to wild rice, gluten-free rolled oats and flours, healthy cooking oils, and all sorts of non-GMO nuts and seeds. It's a great way to source tuna fish, anchovies and sardines, and even baby food. In addition, check the websites of your favorite companies for coupons and special promotions. Each of these online stores often offers easy-to-access discounts to further sweeten the deal. The food sections at store chains such as Marshall's, Home Goods, and TJ Maxx are also excellent sources for scoring high-quality organic products at discount prices. Stock up on these new main staples to replace the old low-quality items in your pantry with all sorts of long-lasting but safe goodies and save money at the same time. Surrounding yourself with these options will prevent you from habitually turning to outdated food habits. With respect to fresh produce, my number one recommendation for quality is to stay clear of conventionally grown, genetically modified, GMO or GE, products. How do you distinguish a waxed piece of GMO fruit versus the real thing? A simple way of doing this is to check out the stickers attached to fruit and many vegetables. By reading the code on the sticker, you'll be able to tell which of these three categories the fruit belongs to. GMO, conventionally produced with chemical fertilizers, fungicides or herbicides, or organically grown. Here are the basics of what you should look for. If there are only four numbers on your apple, e.g. 4131, this means that the produce was grown with the use of the earlier mentioned chemicals. If there are five numbers, and the first is an 8, that's the code for GMO produce, e.g. 84131. If there are five numbers, and the first is a 9, e.g. 94131, the produce was grown organically and is safe to eat. By the way, organic fruit is not always picture perfect, but it will be full of flavor and deliver on nutrient value. The Dirty Dozen and Clean 15. Unfortunately, depending on where it's coming from, organic fresh produce can be expensive. A good money-saving strategy is to take a look at the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 lists. I'll read both to you shortly. The Dirty Dozen represents the 12 most contaminated and pesticides-laden fruits and vegetables on the market. It's important to invest in the organic versions of these foods to avoid ingesting toxic loads of chemicals along with your meals. On the other hand, the Clean 15 is the safest produce that one can eat in their non-organic forms, since they are not sprayed as heavily with pesticides. Other foods fall somewhere in between, so choose organic whenever you can. Dirty Dozen. Apples, celery, tomatoes, cucumbers, grapes, nectarines, peaches, potatoes, spinach, strawberries, blueberries, bell peppers. Clean 15. Onions, avocado, sweet corn, pineapple, mango, sweet peas, eggplant, cauliflower, asparagus, kiwi, cabbage, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, cantaloupe. How about a few more tricks? Try not to buy pre-washed and ready-to-eat fruits and vegetables, as they will cost you twice as much. Buy local produce when in season and freeze it to have at your disposal when it's out of season. You can also track down a farmer's market near you through localharvest.org or the USDA. Get to know your local farmers, create personal relationships, and don't be shy about negotiating prices. Another good move is to be the last person to leave the farmer's market. Farmers are likely to cut their prices at the end of the day, so they don't have to lug their produce back to the farm. You can also buy a share in a community-supported agriculture CSA program in exchange for contributing to a local farm's operating expenses. You'll get a weekly box of fresh fruits and vegetables. The truth about soy. Soy is a plant-based food that deserves special mention because it has become one of the most controversial foods on the planet. You might find it promoted as a protein-dense superfood 1 minute and blacklisted as a cancer-inducing poison the next. As we strive to reduce our overconsumption of animal products, knowing whether or not to consume soy becomes particularly relevant, given its potential as an alternate source of lean protein. Many have used soy as a meat alternative for decades. In fact, soy first became popular due to the Okinawan centenarians largely preferring it over meat in their diet. Since the Okinawans are one of our best examples of healthy centenarians, we need to take a closer look. Are soy products such as tofu, tempeh, and soy milk acceptable or not? As we've discovered with regard to so many foods, soy's verdict depends upon the type of soy you're eating and how much of it. There are basically two kinds of soy, the kind eaten in Japan and the kind eaten throughout much of the Western world. Soy products in the United States today are made up of 90% genetically modified soybeans and are rife with pesticides and preservatives. As such, they can cause allergies, intolerances, and even systemic inflammation. Also, soy contains molecules called isoflavones that are known to influence our estrogen levels. Eating too much soy can indeed impact estrogen levels, possibly creating hormone imbalances in your body. Some people are more sensitive to this than others and have to avoid soy products entirely. As a result, while the soy industry would have you believe that eating soy products is a smart move for your health, the GMO-laden, highly processed soy found in commercial tofu, soy milk products, and tempeh is far from a health food and closer to a health hazard. However, it isn't an occasional miso soup that will make you sick, so much as the additional soy that you unknowingly eat from a multitude of unexpected sources. Soy is added to as many as 12,000 food products in the United States, from common breakfast cereals and energy bars to snack foods and pastas. If you're not paying attention to labels, you might be surprised to find that soy is found in the majority of products on your supermarket shelves, mainly in the form of soybean oil. In addition, isolated soy proteins are widely used as emulsifiers to lend moisture to a product's texture, and are also often added to drinks, such as lattes and frappes, to emulate a creamy consistency. So what type of soy is good for you? The soy used in Japan, which is almost always consumed in its organic form. Additionally, soy in Japan is often fermented, as in the case of miso, as in your miso soup. Tempeh and natto, a traditional Japanese food made of fermented soybeans. This is the soy that merits consideration as a health food, and is the only soy actually worth eating. Organic, fresh soybeans and edamame contain all essential amino acids, along with healthy amounts of the PUFAs your brain is so fond of. They are also packed with iron, fiber, and minerals such as magnesium, potassium, copper, and manganese. Freshly made tofu is an excellent source of brain-essential nutrients, too. During a visit to Kyoto, I was lucky enough to be presented with a subtly earthy, silky custard in a traditional restaurant, and was totally won over by genuine tofu made of traditional soy. The milk is equally healthy and delicious, though fairly expensive. You can find both at health food stores like Whole Foods. Keep in mind that the Japanese don't overeat their tofu. A typical serving of tofu is the size of a golf ball. Unfortunately, in the United States, most soy products like tempeh contain adulterated soy and are highly processed and should definitely be avoided. Fish, meat, eggs, and dairy. animal products are more of a challenge, both in terms of quality and convenience. Fish, in particular, a brain must, can be tricky because you want to eat good fish without having to take out a loan. With respect to quality, my personal suggestion is to choose wild-caught over farm-raised fish whenever possible. You want your fish to be wild or fresh-caught so as to avoid any pollutants, pesticides, and antibiotics your dinner might have already ingested. When first hearing this, many shake their heads and think, "I can't afford that." I faced this same challenge when I moved to New York on a meager student salary and couldn't find a decent piece of fish in my local supermarkets. This eventually led to my devising a few effective strategies. To begin with, although it is true that high-quality salmon is more expensive than the conventionally raised unhealthy ones, it takes as little as 2 to 3 ounces to meet your brain's needs for the day. That's about the size of 2 pieces of sashimi. If you feel like you need a bigger portion, fresh mackerel, cod, and halibut are inexpensive choices that top the list of fish rich in brain-building DHA. Buying frozen fish is another option. Frozen, wild-caught fish still beats fresh, farm-raised fish any day, both in terms of nutritional quality and safety. Believe it or not, you can buy a pound of wild Alaskan salmon online for as little as $12, clean and cut, and then thaw it as needed. Wild anchovies and sardines can easily be bought online for less than $2 a can. My beloved salmon roe isn't cheap, I'll give you that, but you can buy it by the pound and for a lot less money at any Russian deli or online. To be clear, a quarter pound will last you a week or longer. Remember that, as far as your brain is concerned, 2 tablespoons of salmon roe are worth 30 pieces of chicken. Now, let's tackle the meat question. Whatever you do, do not skimp here. Some consumers know to look for specific qualifications when it comes to shopping for meat, such as organic, free-range, grass-fed, pastured, hormone-free, and cage-free. While you might think these labels are interchangeable or unimportant, they're actually not. For example, did you know that free-range chickens don't necessarily have any access to a pasture? It is important to note that egg-laying facilities are allowed to label their products as free-range, regardless of the actual amount of time the hens spend outdoors. Nor is the range of outdoor space checked or regulated in any way. This label also doesn't guarantee that the hens had access to a natural pastured diet. Genuinely free-range hens and grass-fed cows are animals that roam freely outdoors on a healthy pasture, where they can forage for their natural diet of seeds, wild plants, grass, herbs, and insects. These are now increasingly referred to as pasture-raised animals, to avoid any prior confusion. Additionally, it is important to buy these meats in their organic form because of the combined risks of pesticides, antibiotics, GMO feeds, and growth hormone exposure. You don't want your pasture-raised chicken to be eating processed foods. When looking for the best, you want to buy pastured, grass-fed beef and free-range chicken that have been fed an organic diet. As an added bonus, given their freedom of movement, these animals' meat is naturally lower in saturated fat and higher in omega-3s, as compared to that of their hormone-laden and often sickly conventionally raised counterparts. Obviously, the eggs and milk from these pastured animals are also safer. You've probably seen or eaten a farm-fresh egg with a deep, bright orange color and wondered why it looks so different from the typical supermarket egg. That's because the chicken that laid the egg was healthy. Same goes for milk. Which brings us to cheese. When it comes to cheese, always check the label. Processed cheeses are a deal breaker. If you need a good reason to never eat sliced cheese singles again, consider that many of these cheeses aren't even technically made of cheese at all. Take a peek at the label, and you'll find that they are actually processed cheese food. Translation: half of what you're eating is not cheese or food in the first place, but a harmful chemical concoction. Besides being made of poor quality, contaminated milk, these dairy products are full of emulsifiers, refined vegetable oils, trans fats, and all sorts of additives, like starches and gums, that make up the other half of your cheese. Even worse, when the label reads processed cheese products, it means that they contain even less cheese. Using various industrial powders and mixed solids instead. It wasn't until I first moved to New York that I experienced processed cheese. As an Italian, I was surprised to find it on my pizza, no less. Friends took me to a local pizza place and ordered a large cheese pizza. When it arrived, it was covered with a white, chalky substance that I was told was mozzarella. As someone familiar with what mozzarella is and isn't, I was stunned at the imposter that was passing for it on this side of the Atlantic. Although not all pizzerias serve processed cheese, this was one of my first experiences finding it on my plate, which led to a revelation. I'd much rather eat organic full-fat cheese than any other available option, including low-fat. Surprised? Once again, quality trumps quantity in my book. There are cheeses that are naturally low in fat, and there are full-fat cheeses that get industrially stripped of a good part of their fat content. These low or reduced-fat cheeses usually suffer from many of the same problems as processed cheeses. Since low-fat milk has very little flavor or nutrients, manufacturers add sugars, starches, and additives in an attempt to recuperate the lost texture and flavor of the cheese so that it tastes closer to that of its natural, full-fat version. That goes the same for yogurt. Most commercial yogurt is chock full of artificial colors, flavors, additives, and high fructose corn syrup, which instead of delivering any health benefit at all, actually nourishes disease-causing bacteria, yeast, and fungi in your gut. Since your gut can only host a limited number of bacteria, eating these foods pushes the good guys out while letting the bad guys in. The inevitable result is that you get sick, either initially or over time. Did I just suggest that you eat full-fat cheese and yogurt? I sure did. Feel free to enjoy a cup of organic, plain, full-fat yogurt every day if you like. The best practice would be to make your own yogurt, or at least buy it fresh directly from the farm. Alternatively, some of my favorite commercial brands are Maple Hill Creamery, 100% grass-fed variety, Stonyfield, Ronniebrook, Liberté, and Redwood Hill Farm. You can find them in many supermarkets and just as easily online. A much better alternative to both high-fat and commercial low-fat dairy is to focus on those milks and cheeses that are naturally low in fat. For example, goat's milk and sheep's milk contain less fat than cow's milk while at the same time containing more protein and nutrients, allowing you to feel fuller longer. Dry cheeses like pecorino or feta are good examples. Next time you're about to eat a large piece of rubbery processed mozzarella, try having a smaller piece of fresh, creamy goat cheese, or a sharp Romano instead. These are but a few of the endlessly better choices. Restore the